Hey, I'm Tim.
And I'm Drew.
And this is the Hearts and Hands Podcast.
In Season 2, Episode 26, we talked to Rachel Brown and Maida Jasperson about making their children's book about Esther.
Welcome to another episode of the Hearts and Hands Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Babler, joined as always by my co-host, Drew Sonnenberg. And Drew, you actually found our guests for this week through a post on Facebook, is that right?
Yep. A longtime friend of the podcast, Jason Jasperson, was a very proud father that was excited to post that his daughter, Maida, was the illustrator on a new children's book that was coming out based on a song by the Branches Band, another former podcast guest. So Rachel from Branches Band and Maida collaborated on this project, and as soon as I saw it, I immediately ordered a copy and was super excited to talk to them about what it was like to make a book, like especially a children's book. Like, we've never talked to anyone about that before, but then also what the like collaboration process was like and how it was like working together and sending things back and forth and whatnot. So It was a really interesting conversation with them, and I'm excited for everyone to hear it.
So let's get right into that interview.
Today we are excited to welcome a pair of guests to the podcast. We have Rachel Brown from Branches Band, and we have Maida Jasperson, who together have created a children's book based on the story of Esther. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
For our guests, Rachel, you've been on, but could you just briefly reintroduce who you are and what you do?
Definitely. So I'm Rachel Brown. I'm a part of Branches Band. So I'm a musician. I play piano, some small percussion, and I sing. And my husband and I, we travel around the country full time, playing in churches for worship, offering concerts, doing children's programs, like we talked about the last time we were on the podcast. So yeah, children's ministry is an important thing for us, and so we're excited to venture into new waters as far as that's concerned.
Awesome. Maida, how about you?
Okay, well, I am a new college student, freshman this year. I've had class for like one day so far. studio art major. I love to paint. I love to draw. I'm always making something, I guess. I just made a sketchbook the other day, and right now I'm looking into how to make shoes. It looks really tricky, but could be fun. Yeah, I guess I just make stuff a lot.
Awesome. And like we said, you two just made a children's book based on Esther. So I guess to just get started, like, this showed up on my Facebook feed and I was just kind of blown away. I was not expecting it, but when I saw it, I was like, yes, this is awesome. So how did this even come to be? Where did this start?
It's kind of a surprise that's been a year in the making. So last year, Branches Band, we recorded our second children's album, and just in conversations with some people, at Hearts and Hands, we were there and we were talking about illustrating a children's book and what that would look like and how that would go. And we ended up getting pointed in the direction of Maida. And so we basically just sent her all the songs. We're like, here, give it a listen. And, you know, what would you like to do? What would you like to illustrate? How would this look for you? Because we are musicians and not really visual artists whatsoever. So just wanted to put that to her and see what she thought about it. So
yeah, and then I went and listened through the album, and I think I might have listened to all of your songs, and I picked a couple, but we ended up on Esther. I really liked it because I remember really loving the story of Esther when I was little. I had like a Bible storybook, and that was one of my favorite stories. And then it just had a nice flow to it. Like, the lyrics worked well as a narrative. I thought it would make a really nice little storybook.
Definitely. That was one that we had in mind of a few. I was obviously super excited you picked that one. But yeah, so then it was fun to just go back and forth and kind of talk about what we want the pages to look like and how many pages it's going to be, how many illustrations. And mm-hmm. this is brand new for both of us. We had never done a book, nothing close to a book. So, yes, a fun new endeavor.
Yeah, huge learning experience.
Mm-hmm. We were crazy busy last year. We did 2 different albums. We were working on transcribing songbooks, doing this, doing that. And so basically, after we got some of the groundwork put together with Maida, we just kind of hung out and waited for her. Whenever she had time to do it, she would send us stuff, but it wasn't anything that we had a strict deadline on. It's kind of hard to do that to someone who's a senior in high school, say.
Yeah, there were just long periods of time where I wouldn't be able to touch it. So I was really thankful that you guys were flexible with your scheduling.
Definitely, yeah.
So I, like Rachel, am a musician and not a visual artist at all. So forgive me if this question is obtuse in any way, but how as an artist did you even begin to come up with like the art direction or the style that you chose for this book?
Yeah, so I started, well, first obviously I listened to the song and I just kind of wrote down my initial reactions and thoughts, and then I went and looked at a bunch of other picture books. I was pulling out like all of my favorite books from when I was little, trying to figure out like why I liked them, why they were my favorites. And then this was over the summer. I just like sat down in our local coffee shop for a couple days and just sketched for like 5-6 hours straight, trying to figure out page layouts and character design. And I just kept at it, and I would listen to the song on repeat and draw while listening to it to try and keep it relevant to what they had created.
Yeah, some of it from our standpoint was just breaking up the lyrics to fit enough, but not too much, to give some variety for each page. So it wasn't just mm-hmm. 2 lines on this page, 2 lines on the next page, 2 lines on the next page. There are a lot of things to think about as far as the flow of the story. When you're singing it as a song, it's just a verse, refrain, verse, refrain, verse, refrain, mm-hmm. you know, but to have it visually is just different, and to read it is different. So Maida did a great job. She gave us these, you know, we had kind of split up the lyrics and talked about illustrations in a vague sense, like here's the thought to convey, here's the general thing, but she did these little sketches that felt like storyboarding, which was really cool to see. It was super exciting. I was like, oh man, there it is. That was the first time it felt like a book for me. I was like, whoa, we have pages. This is awesome.
So then what kind of was the editing process like? You know, after you had those initial storyboards or even some finished sketches or paintings, what was the process like collaborating and coming to a finished product like?
Sure. So I had those initial thumbnail sketches, which just means like a small, really messy, like throwaway sketch. And I would send them to Rachel and Andy and ask, you know, is this kind of what you had in mind? Does anything need to change? Is any of it inaccurate? And we'd bounce stuff back and forth. And then I really didn't touch it for a while, and so then when I came back to it, I had fresh eyes and I could go through and edit again, and I didn't have any finished sketches or paintings really until the last couple months when we've been in quarantine. Up until then, it's all been sketches and trying to figure out what the characters look like and the environment they're in.
Yeah, I feel like this can happen with music too, where you have a musical idea and you just kind of sit on it for a while until mm-hmm. you finally sit down and actually play it through and, you know, pound yeah. it out, whatever it is. And so, yeah, I kind of felt like that happened with you for your sketches also. A couple of things that we went back and forth on were, we really wanted to make sure that the story was biblically accurate. So when mm-hmm. you distill an entire book of the Bible down into one little song, there are little things that you glean over, you know, or summarize, obviously. But so a couple things we had to go back and forth that Maida had illustrated Mordecai and Esther, like, coming together to discuss, you know, the Jewish people about to be totally annihilated. And looking at the story, you know, in the Bible, it was like, well, no, they weren't, they couldn't really talk, you know. So we had to illustrate, because I didn't write any wording about this, but through the illustrations then to communicate that that there was a note passed back and forth that Mordecai was sitting there wailing at the city gate in sackcloth, you know, just so upset.
Mm-hmm. And so they were physically apart. Mm-hmm.
So little tweaks like that happened that just, I really feel, deepened the story, you know, to be able to take the poem is one thing, but you can convey so much more than on top of it visually.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to the levels of communication in there between the music and the visual and just the story in general, like the actual, I guess, plot.
Yeah, yeah. And this story in the Bible is set up so differently than any other book of the Bible. It's written even like a Persian story. Like, it's written in that style as opposed to the Hebrew stories. So it's got a lot of drama to it. It has the intrigue, all of it built in, which is really neat. But I liked the research that you did, Maida, on the illustration to make sure that you had, you know, this beautiful palace and all of that. I appreciated that depth to it. So
yeah, I started getting ads for like Persian rugs on Instagram. I was constantly googling like ancient Persian like dishes and the palace and what kind of trees they have there.
Yeah,
there's something unique to that. I think this is what I was pulling out of the last things you guys were saying, where the text is one thing, and especially when it's based off of a song. But Maida, you're almost telling a whole additional story with the pictures.
Yeah. When I think of an illustration, I think of it as kind of separate, maybe not separate, but on another level as a drawing. Like, a drawing can be of anything, but an illustration has to tell a story in itself. You have to be able to look at it and understand what's happening. And so for each page, I wanted there to be a clear mood or direction or something that somebody could look at the pictures, especially because it's a children's book. You know, if a kid picks it up and they can't read, they can still enjoy the flow of the story without being able to read the words.
That's an awesome point. My daughter, she's 4 and a half now, but when she looks through books, because she can't read, except for the word no, she can read the word no. But otherwise, she'll look through these spreads, and before I've even ever read this book to her from the library or whatever, she will tell me the story. And it all comes from the illustrations, you know, and tell me details about it that she notices even that aren't written down. And it's such an important way to tell a story for children.
Yeah, and I tried really hard to remember what it was like as, you know, being that age and looking at picture books. Why did I like some? Why did I not like others? And I tried to break that down and figure out, okay, how can I mimic that? I remember being drawn to, like, fun, bright colors, and so I wanted to make sure that there were some fun, bright colors and, like, exciting characters to look at and not just people who all look like they've been drawn as the same person, like variety.
Something that I see in children's books that I didn't see in your illustrations, and that's what I appreciated, was that some illustrations, I feel that they get dumbed down for children.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's done, even then, is done well. But the books that I love are the ones that have beautiful illustrations that you can even appreciate as a grown-up.
Exactly.
But, you know, so just to kind of be able to reach more generations that way and make a book enjoyable for parents, for teachers, for whoever is going to be reading the book, because that's ultimately you have to spend time in it too. A kid can love a book, but if their parent doesn't really like it, they're probably not going to read it as much. So,
yeah. I think about that. I'll watch kids' movies with my cousins, and you can tell when the directors didn't really have in mind that other people would have to sit and watch it too.
Yeah.
It needs to be engaging for both sides. And I believe that if you don't tell a kid that something's going to be really difficult to understand, they're just going to work to understand it the same way they would anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could read a kid Shakespeare and they'll love it if you haven't told them that, like, oh, you can't read that till you're in high school.
Right.
They can handle it.
Definitely. And they're going to glean what they can glean. And right. Then they can come back to it later and have the familiarity, but learn even more about it. I think that's a cool thing, too. Have you ever gone back and watched some of the movies or the shows or whatever that you watched as a kid? Some of them, you're like, oh, man, this is a classic. I love this. This is amazing. And others, you're like, wow, I never need to see that again.
Yeah.
So I want this book to be something that some child will read now, and then when they have a kid, they'll come back to it and go, wow, I really like this as a kid. I'm so glad I still have this for my kid.
Mm-hmm. Something that stands the test of time.
Yeah.
This is maybe a design question, but it's like concept, I guess. Because you had mentioned like researching. You can research what things looked like, what the palace would look like, what the dishes would look like, things like that. But Esther herself, she's the main character.
Yeah.
But how do you determine what she looks like?
That was tricky. I ended up looking up a lot of Jewish actresses and actors really for all the characters. Thinking that, if I could find a movie that one of them was in, I could just pause it and use that as a reference, and there would be plenty of poses. Really, I ended up kind of designing based off of those, and then all of my reference photos were me, so everybody they have pieces of my facial structure, and then certain parts are exaggerated or played down, taking facial structure from other people as well.
Yeah, it was something that we talked about, that we wanted it to be true. And that's another thing about the simplicity, not to oversimplify faces. You can have a complex and beautiful face and still be able to express or put the expressions on those faces. Some of the illustrations, even in the sketches, before the paint, before the watercolor went in, before the inking was done, were just so expressive. And it made my heart happy to see it. I was so glad. But we wanted to be careful to be true to the story and to the people and all of that, and made it such a nice job. And all the research, I so appreciate it. But that was important to come through really for both of us. And I'm pleased with how it came through.
Well, and especially considering that how Esther became the queen, with basically a beauty pageant. So you had to know that she's this very, very beautiful woman, and portraying that in a way that, still makes the story relevant, I think is important. And that's what you mentioned. So,
and to make her beautiful without making her look like Barbie or like a supermodel or any of those things. It was wonderfully done. So.
Yeah. On a similar note, you mentioned that you didn't want all of the characters to just look like variations on the same character. And I think, as I read the Bible and everything, that's a very normal thing to do, is just to make everyone more or less look like me in my head. So I was almost taken aback when I opened the book and saw Mordecai for the first time, and saw that he's a kind of a bigger fella. So what went into that decision?
Well, I love playing around with different character designs. Like, I'll just sit and watch real people and try and simplify their stature, their pose, their gesture, into just a quick sketch with a couple lines. And so I feel like that practice helped me, that everybody's sort of based on real life. I think that's what always helps drawings. It makes things more relatable if it's based on something real. And while Mordecai isn't based on any particular person, I just figured, I don't know, he's older, he's her uncle, and I wanted each character to have kind of a distinguishable silhouette. So Mordecai's more round, Haman's kind of tall and skinny, the king is a bit, he started kind of more triangular, he flowed out a bit more, Esther kind of, I don't know how to describe her shape, but it's almost a teardrop.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the next question gets a little more nitty-gritty, but I'm sure some of our listeners are curious. How did the publishing process go? This book was self-published, right?
Right, yeah.
So what was that like?
So figuring out self-publishing is this whole different animal I was not prepared for. I just knew that we wanted a book. We had self-published our music books, like our song books, so that you can play our music. But we didn't have an ISBN for that. We didn't publish through any other publisher. We just have them printed by a company here in Milwaukee, and we worked with them to get that all figured out. So the first thing I did was contact that company, and I said, all right, I would like to do a book about this size with this kind of binding, because there are all kinds of binding you can do. It needs to be color, it needs to be full bleed, you know, all of these terms. And they came back to me with a price. And I contacted a few other places that do printing, and they came back to me with a price. For us, this is a new venture for us, and ordering 1,000 books is not quite where we're at right now. I hope to order 1,000 books someday. That'd be fantastic. But so looking at different self-publishing, we basically ended up doing a publish on demand. So companies that will print them as you need them. So we've got a box of them coming to us. But all of that, then that means that we did all of the layout. We did put all of the text in, all of the proofing, all of the little nitty gritty things. So when Maida started back up doing these sketches, and then she did the inking, and then she did the watercolor, and it was just like, boom, 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 done. I was like, whoa, okay, now it's my turn. So I took a program on my computer, started cutting up the images to get the page layouts just right, and sending it off to get proofs. And yeah, there was a little bit of back and forth, you know, even then with the images and how that works, making sure that we had enough blank space without the black ink underneath where you put the text, trying to preserve every part of the image. I don't know how much nitty-gritty you want, but we did nitty-gritty back and forth for a couple weeks until, bam, it's done and you send it off. So this process has been a whole series of surprises. Like I said, we've been working on this for a year, but it still feels so fast to have it done already, because of all the work that went in right at the end there. And now it's out, just figuring out how to buy ISBNs, how to get a barcode, how to upload all these images. Just so, lots of technical stuff that my musician brain is perhaps not the best at, but we do what we can.
So if you were speaking to our audience and there was someone that has always wanted to make a children's book but just never pulled the trigger or whatever, what advice, either from a creative or a technical perspective, would you give to someone who wanted to make their own children's book?
Call up Maida. That's what
be ready for the commitment, because it is a big time commitment. But it's such, like, it's so worth it in the end. The payoff is so big. So just be aware that it's a big time commitment, but do it.
Yes. Yeah. It is. You're going to put yourself in for the work. If you want to do it well, I've seen children's books that were self-published or not, but just not done that well. And yeah. In everything, you should strive for excellence, especially as Christians, I feel. Mm-hmm. You should strive for excellence in what you do, in presenting yeah. your faith or otherwise. So take the time, sit down and make sure that it is right, that it is just right. And know that you are going to be investing your time, your talents, your money. You know, this is a big, it's a big step to take. It's a worthy step to take. It's awesome to be able to create something and put it into people's hands. When you create something that people are looking for, that can benefit them and enrich them. Yeah, so
I would say also, depending on if you're on the drawing side or the writing side, don't be afraid to kind of shop around for a partner, because it's so nice to have somebody else to work with rather than just going in completely alone, and to find another quality creator who, you know, wants to have everything up to the high standard that a children's book should be held to, just really makes everything a lot easier, and you just feel more comfortable with your end product, I think.
Mm-hmm. Just having somebody else be able to, who is so invested, to be able to look at it and go, yep, this is good. You know, so it just yeah. helps to give you that reassurance, I think.
Yeah.
So looking back on the process and the time commitment and the whole experience in general, would you do it again?
I would.
Yeah. 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 I guess we'll see if anybody, you know, how the book does.
Sure.
I would love to do this. I would love to do this with almost every song that we have as far as children's songs. I think I obviously have a big passion for children's music and taking God's word, whether it's Bible passages or stories, setting it to music so that kids can learn it, so that it's in your brain, so that it's on your heart. You have it with you. Illustrating that is just one more step. Not everyone learns the same way. So the more ways that you can present God's word in an excellent way, the better chance you have to get this story, to get this information from the Bible that you desperately need, to get it into you, to have it with you. So to combine the story with the poetry, with the music, with the illustration, just keep on adding these layers is incredible. I just heard from I have an aunt who lives in Texas. She's a teacher there. She teaches third grade, and she just told me she got her book and she read it to her class. And then she played the song and then flipped through and showed them the illustrations. She said they were silent, just absolutely full attention. And after she played the song and they looked at it again, her class all just started clapping.
Wow. My goodness.
I think that's awesome to be able to get that story, that it feels, there's so much feeling for them that they clapped. You know, biggest compliment, I'd say.
I think it's encouraging for any other young creators to see, or any other Christian creators actually, to see other Christian people making high quality stuff. You know, to hear a Christian song that you really like, or to see Christian illustrations that you really like, can be encouraging that you're not the only one trying to create Christian content in a world that has so much content that doesn't align with God's word.
And that it doesn't have to come from a big publisher, that it doesn't have to, that it's not going to be something that drops in your lap, that you can do the work and create something beautiful and useful and educational, all of these things, to be able to support other people in their endeavors. And I think it's absolutely amazing that you got to do this, made it, that it's illustrated by a teenager. I mean, holy cow, it just blows my mind.
I am so grateful that you were willing to hire me as like a high school senior who's never made a book or done anything that like major and tangible. I was so grateful for that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks for your illustrations. It was neat to go through your work and kind of talk to you about what you had already done. Like, this illustration I like for this reason. This illustration I like for this reason. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about colors, talking about the tone and what type of coloring you would use. I mean, we went back and forth about whether to do watercolor or all digital coloring. You know, what kind of richness you want with that. And I think that the watercolors turned out so nicely. I don't know how much... Did you add digital color?
Yes. So okay. After it was all inked and everything, I went through... It took me a while to pick out colors, but I went through and I watercolored everything, and I thought it looked horrible, and I felt so bad. I felt like I had totally wrecked it.
Oh, no.
And so I went over, and I did a couple more layers of watercolor, and I still wasn't feeling it. And I was trying to figure out, okay, what does this need? Why is it not right? And something my dad has always taught me about art is that you need to focus on the values, which are, like, dark to light. It's kind of the shading, and that is so much more important than the colors, because if you have the shadows right, you can put any crazy color you want over anything and it'll still look believable. And so I realized that my illustrations were too flat. They were like a coloring sheet that I had just kind of filled in. And so digitally on Photoshop, I drew in shadows with purple just to add more depth, and that made everything so much better.
Awesome. Well, it's been so encouraging and inspiring to hear you two talk about this. We want to thank you both so much for taking the time to talk to us today. For our listeners who want to see more of your work, or whether it's this book or anything else you've worked on, where can we point them?
The easiest way to find this book is visit our website. So you can go to branchesband.com, and there's a link that'll take you right to it to order your copy.
Yeah. If you want to see more work by me, or if you'd like to work on a book with me, you can find a bunch of my work at on Instagram. Made by Maida J is the Instagram handle.
Awesome. If you want. And we'll be sure to put those links in our show notes as well.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and looking forward to reading the book.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That wraps it up for another episode of the podcast. As always, if you've got people you want to hear from, questions you want answers to, or you're an artist that is just finishing up a project or that you want to talk about, feel free to reach out to us at heartsandhandspodcast@gmail.com or on any social media platform at Wells Creatives.
And if you're interested in supporting us financially, you can do so at patreon.com/heartsandhandspodcast. I'd like to shout out our patrons there as well. We appreciate the support.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.